You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
Well, this is our second Sunday of Lent. We're seeing kind of a theme develop here, at least from last week to this week. Last week, we had Jesus, before he began his public ministry, to go out into the desert, and he experienced this temptation. And really what he did is he experienced this first, and this experience has become a model for us. So I wasn't here preaching last week, at least not to this crowd. The 5 and 7 heard this homily, but what it was a blueprint, if you will, of what we have to experience if we're going to follow Christ, and that is temptation, and in the many different forms. Okay, but first of all, Jesus started it, and Jesus went through it, and then he kind of handed it on to us. Well, we see the same thing going on today in our first reading and in our gospel reading. In our first reading from Genesis, Abraham is saying, I ain't got no kids, me and Sarah, we're old, we've got no kids. And God has come along and says, relax, you're going to have kids, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And, you know, fine, okay. And then, after a while though, God comes back and says, hey, I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham says, well, nothing's going on, nothing's happened. So God says, okay, here's what I'll do. So back then, to make a very serious contract, two people came together, they discussed the terms of the contract, and then each person would bring farm animals. It was kind of messy and bloody. And what they would do is they would slaughter the animals, then they would split the animals in half and place the halves on each side. Then once again, both parties would talk out, okay, this is what we're agreeing to, right? And they both said yes. And so instead of signing a document like we do now and all of that kind of stuff, they walked through the split animals. And their vow was that if we do not live up to the contract, may what happened to these animals happen to us. Now that's pretty serious contract making and very important. And so God, knowing that's what they did back then, says, okay, Abraham, give me some animals. So he got the animals, he slaughtered the animals, cut them in half. This is important. God appeared as a flaming pot, if you will, flame, torch, and only God walked through the split animals. Abraham did not. God made a promise, and God put a boxed himself in by a contract of which Abraham has nothing he has to do for it. He's not responsible for any part of the contract. Only God. All right, so what's the point? The point is commitment. If we say that we believe in God, and if we say, if we want to go further, and we believe in Jesus, then therefore we have to commit to that. And commitment is important. It's not anything to say, well, yes, I believe in Jesus. It has to be a full-fledged, honest-to-goodness, whole heart, brain, soul, everything, body, commitment. No part way. Let me give you a little example. It's kind of silly, but it drives my point home why commitment is important. When I was in the seminary where I am, even with us, so it doesn't matter what time it is that when you get a bunch of guys living together, the messiest parts of the house are the kitchen and our rec room where our television is. Always messy. It's a pit. So what we do is we say, okay, we're going to clean it. Now, every once in a while, this is what happens. We all get together and say, okay, we're all in this together. We're all members of Jesus' spectacular body of Christ. And so we start throwing beautiful religious language at each other. And it's wonderful. And we're all brothers in Christ, and we all love one another. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what that means is that means that we will all take responsibility to keep the kitchen clean. We will all take responsibility to keep the rec room clean. And we love it, and we feel real good. It's a great meeting. Praise Jesus. We can end in prayer, and we go away loving one another. And it is wonderful until a week later. And in a week later, you know what's going to happen. The rec room is a mess. And it will always be a mess. Why? Because no one was committed to it. When we say everyone is committed to it, no one is committed to it. And that's going to happen throughout life, no matter what. Be careful when we all say, let's all get along and let's all do this together. It ain't going to happen. At least, not down the line. It happens at first because we all feel good. But life interferes. God committed himself to walk through those split animals and says, I will take responsibility for you. That is commitment. When somebody takes responsibility, here's what happens. Somebody says, okay, I'll take care of the rec room. Fine. And you know what? The rec room's clean now. Why? Because one person steps up and takes responsibility. And if it's messy, then we can all just scream at that person. Just say, hey. And that's what we do to God. When things aren't going right, what do? Hey, we point the finger. What's going on? Why aren't you doing this? We are now challenged to commit to God. Now, that's going to be important in just a second. I'll get back to that. I'm not finished screaming at you yet. Gospel of Luke. Peter, John, and James think they've got Jesus figured out. They know who Jesus is. They've been hanging with him. Nice guy, smart guy, holy guy, heals people. So, okay, this is a really nice guy. We like this guy. Okay, until they get to the top of the mountain. And at the top of the mountain, something strange happens. Jesus is transfigured. It's a weird religious, supernatural experience. It's strange. And only they experience it. They experience Jesus in a new way, so much so that a cloud comes down on them, and it is God's voice himself saying, this is my beloved son. This is not who you think he is. You think this, you think that. You're wrong. This is my son. This is the son of God. Listen to him. So don't try to box him in here. Don't try to box him in there. Don't do that. Well, okay, that's pretty powerful. So powerful that Peter, John, and James fell silent and did not at the time tell anyone. Why? Who would tell anyone this? You would sound crazy. If you went up a mountainside with somebody and something like this happened, and you come down and say, well, guess what just happened? No one would believe you. Or they think you're crazy. And that is exactly how religious experiences happen in our life. We experience God personally. And it can be weird. It can be strange. Don't tell anybody about it. Just experience it. And be okay with it. Because we won't understand it. Because you know why? We can't understand each other totally. Oh, we can put each other in boxes. We do that, you know, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, tall, short. You live here, you live there, you went to this school, you went to that school. We can do all of that, and we do, believe me. But it still does not embrace everything of who we are. So, what does Jesus teach us? That we, if we make a commitment to Jesus, Just as Jesus was transfigured before the apostles, we have to start transfiguring ourselves. We start changing ourselves into the very model of Christ. We start giving up our selfish wants and needs. We start forgiving. We start acting kind. We start the transfiguration. It doesn't happen all at once. Believe me, this is a thing that takes all of our lifetime. But people should see us transfiguring. People should see us becoming better. People should see us struggling at becoming better. That's important. It's very important. Because then people could see, wow, look at that person. That person is really trying to be good. That really person is really trying to be Christ-like. So now why? Why do all of this? Well, it comes back to Abraham and commitment. We have to do it no matter what anybody else says. No conditions. And watch out, because we all love our conditions. I do it too. Well, I won't clean the rec room until this person cleans the kitchen. Oh yeah, I've done that. I'll clean the kitchen only if this person takes care of the cars. Conditions. I won't forgive you until you do this or that. Conditions. And conditions mess up commitment big time. It's a commitment killer. Conditions just get in the way. So today, we are called to walk through the split animals, no conditions, just as God did. We go forward and we be good, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what our family's doing, no matter what our friends are doing, no matter what people at work are doing. Well, I'm not going to do that until they do this. No, all of that out, gone. Challenge, quite strong. We, as God does, walk through the split animals. We make the commitment. And in making that commitment, we transfigure ourselves into the likeness of Christ by what we say and by what we do. And believe me, when we do this, we achieve our own salvation. And more importantly, we are an example to others, saying, wow, look at that person. They are really trying to be good. And maybe, just maybe, we could be an example of that struggle, an example of Christ's love to others, and make the world a better place by who and what we say.